Hi everyone, Ron Lord from Blightbringers here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of our show. We strive every week to bring you quality Legion content free of charge directly to your earhole. With that being said, I would like to ask a favor of you this week. Wolf, one of the hosts of the show, is currently taking care of a very sick kitty cat, and I would appreciate it as a personal favor if you could please support him in getting the help his fluffy family member deserves. A link is posted on our page, and any amount you could spare would be very helpful. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblight-focused War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm Tyrone, and joining me is Ryan, your co-host for today.
Welcome to the show. What up? Hello. Happy to be here. Sorry that it's been a couple of weeks. I've had things going on.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Like, these things happen, right?
Life happens. It's a game. The game does not take priority.
Exactly, yeah. Speaking of game, I was OTC adjacent a couple weeks ago. My friends were in the tournament itself, and I was just there to kind of hang out and support them. They did pretty good, I think. And ultimately, I think they went 2-4, or 1-5. I think they might have dropped the last round, so 1-4 drop. But they had a great time, and the team from North Bay, they also did pretty well. So, you know, I think they're happy to have gone, and hopefully next year they'll place even better.
There you go. You can't even complain anymore that your meta is full of scrubs because they managed to win one game. Clearly they're great.
Well, I'm probably the biggest scrub in the meta, so let's be honest.
No, all right, maybe.
And Wolf, I know you had some locals that were at the OTC as well.
I did. Actually, two teams that were mostly from my area, and then another one that was from Rochester.
That's pretty cool.
So, one local team pulled second place, so congrats to those guys.
Holy jeez, that's awesome.
Yeah, they made it to the final table and lost to the team from Ottawa, I think is who won it.
What was their name? Do you remember?
Not a clue.
Okay, well, I'll look it up while you continue to talk.
Yeah, they were a Canadian team. That's the important part. So they got second. The Rochester guys, I believe, got eighth overall, and the other Buffalo team got ninth. So, I mean, all three teams made top 10. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's really good.
But everyone seemed to have a great time, and said that it was real nice having it split out over 2 days instead of doing 5 rounds in 1 day again.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, I was there for that last year, and it got a little messy towards the end when everyone just wanted it to be over.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a, nope, fuck this. I want to go home. We're done here.
Yeah.
Like, a normal tournament going 5 rounds is a little mentally taxing. A team event going 5 rounds is like, oh, God. Like, that's basically an entire extra round by itself just trying to figure out matchups.
Yeah, that's tough.
It gets mentally draining.
Yeah. All right, so I pulled up the results. It was Team Alberta Strong with the 6-0 sweep.
Yep, okay.
Second place, we've got Billy's Basement. Third place, Thick Dick and the Marvelous Molly Whoppers. Fourth place, Jeffrey's Angels. Fifth place, Millennial Falcons. Sixth place, Triple X Planet. 7th is Brim Bim Pro Play, and 8th is Krios Fried Griffin. So that's your top 8 for the OTC.
There you go. Yeah, but I didn't go. I just heard it was a great time, and everybody thoroughly seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, it looked really pretty well run for the most, like, you know, from what I could tell. It seemed like they left a lot of time between rounds the first day, which was kind of a blessing and a curse because people were kind of getting antsy, I think, by the end of the first day. Or it just kind of went on a little too long, maybe, but that's something they can look at next year and maybe tighten it up. Like, I know they wanted it to be relaxed, but I think it might have been a little too relaxed for some people.
We want it to be relaxed, but this is too relaxed.
Exactly.
This is too much relaxation. You're here to be stressed. What are you doing?
So, well, congratulations to those teams. Looking it up, the team that from North Bay up in my part of the world, Asynchronauts came in 14th place, and Mother Local Team came in 20th, so out of 38 teams, that's not too bad.
Out of 38 teams, you weren't the worst.
No, indeed.
I mean, that's the important part. As long as you're not the literal worst. No offense to the people in 38th place, but that I can't imagine that feels good, being like, yeah, we're going to go and we're going to have fun. And we literally got 38 out of 38. Well, shit.
Yeah, well, I think it's either the 37th or the 38th team. I'm not sure. But probably the one that's called the Replacements. We're a team of people that filled in when one team dropped out at the last minute.
Yep. So. Yeah, that's got to be rough.
Yeah, I mean, hey, good on them for filling in.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least those guys had the cojones to step up and be like, look, we're probably going to get our ass kicked, but also now nobody has a bye. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's pretty good of them, and like, pretty sure it was free for them to play, so, you know. They didn't pull the dream 6-0 upset, but you know, can't get it at all.
How just imagine how funny that would be for a minute if the team that they literally found like the weekend before, made of everyone who was just like, yeah, I'm not doing anything, fuck it, I'll show up, ended up going 6-0 sweep and winning it.
That was my dream, honestly.
That'd be amazing. Like, those people should just become like a WTC team at that point. Like, yeah. This is what you can do on no practice and not knowing each other. Imagine what you could do if you actually practiced.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be really cool. But it was not meant to be, so, but that's fine.
It never is until it is.
Yeah. All right, Wolf. So I've been kind of off the grid in regards to games. I was, like I said, at the OTC last week. I felt like absolute dog shit, so I stayed at home. And then this week I wasn't feeling great either. I kind of, you might be able to hear it, I'm still a little congested, so stayed at home again to record instead of play, but that's fine.
Hey, self-care, you gotta do it.
I know you got some games in semi-recently, at least since the last show, because you've been playing quite a bit, and you've also been running a tournament series, correct?
Correct. It's the New York State Star Wars. We started running it last month. Got 30 people to show up for round one in Rochester. So, I mean, that was pretty neat to have basically almost enough people to run a Masters event, just show up for something local.
Yeah, that's great.
Funnily enough, a local guy won that too. He was on the 9th place team at OTC.
Okay.
So... yeah, Adam Mori ended up winning on tiebreakers. We couldn't do a fifth round because of the time the store closed. But we got to four, and it was him and another guy from Rochester, Eric McDavis, were undefeated. But Adam had him on tiebreaker, so he gets first place.
There you go.
It was kind of neat. One of their games, or he was telling me about after because we had driven up together, but one of his games came down to like army points destroyed, and he ended up winning it by 4 points.
That's not a lot of points.
Like, it was apparently quite the nail biter, and I'm a little disappointed that I missed watching it, but you know, is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I've got a couple games in. I played some people there. Life has been hectic for me as well, with sick cat and everything else, so
yeah.
The last couple weeks I haven't really been gaming a ton.
Right.
I managed to play last week, and that was, Christ, what did I actually drop? Abby won into Menoth? I don't remember the caster.
Okay.
Cyrenia. Yeah, it was Cyrenia with Adjudicator.
He's the new one, eh?
Hmm?
He's the new one, right?
Yeah, she's the new Exemplar one.
Okay.
So, I managed to... I think I played the game well, but at one point I kind of went, eh, I haven't played her in a bit, so let's see what happens if I push, and ended up leaving her on one transfer and in range of Judicator, thinking, eh, it's probably fine, let's see what happens. I had feeded that turn too, so it wasn't like I was completely screwed.
Yeah.
But then I didn't end up killing the Dragoon Exemplar guy, whose name I don't remember.
I want to say Gravis, but...
yeah, that sounds right. And he has Dispel on his melee weapon, so he walked forward and smacked Proteus and took Playing God off, mm-hmm. because Proteus had failed to kill him, which was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And that left me on one transfer, and then Adjudicator came over and went, cool, I'm going to shoot rockets and sprays. And like, first spray did like 20 damage. And I'm like, all right, immediately transfer that.
Yeah.
Now, like, now do it again. And he just went, cool, do it again. And I'm like, all right, well, this didn't work.
Yeah, I don't think you can reasonably stand up to Adjudicator with one transfer, maybe two.
I was going to say, technically it was two.
Yeah.
But then, you know, playing God happened, and it was less than two then.
That's rough, dude.
Yeah, it was a little rough, but it was also kind of a neat learning game of just, I haven't played this in a while, and I haven't played specifically into this, so let's see what happens. And it turns out if you do that, you die.
Right. Yep. Sounds about right.
But yeah, other than that, haven't really got a ton of games in. Running another event this Saturday. Round two of Star Wars is going to be in Buffalo. And hopefully we get the same turnout.
Yeah. Do you still have slots open for that?
We do. I don't believe there is a cap on the number of people as of right now. Okay. So, if this manages to get out before Saturday and you feel like coming down to Buffalo or up or coming in the direction of Buffalo is wherever you are, feel free. It's at a Collectors Inn in Kenmore. It's a 10 o'clock reg, 10:30 start, and get some games in, smash face, see what happens.
Okay, cool. We'll try and include the details of the event in the show notes. So, Wolf, or Ryan, I don't know. I kind of want to maybe just transition to real names. I don't know
how I'm feeling about that. To me.
Yeah. So I know we wanted to, we haven't really got too many games in, but we wanted to talk about some kind of fun things that we can do in Legion. You were mentioning specifically Emmanuel's Animag 1 tech, which is pretty silly and also kind of amazing.
I mean, it's pretty neat, and it got me thinking. So for anyone who hadn't seen Emmanuel class of Blight Makes Right and pseudo Blightbringer's co-host, he doesn't know it yet, but we'll get him eventually.
Yeah.
Had made a post in the Legion Facebook group about the way Animag's Ritual Slaughter interacts with Vengeance, and it turns out Vengeance is still part of your turn. So if you manage to get a Warmonger or a Warspear with a Vengeance attack that kills something, you can Ritual Slaughter off of that, still boost it as always, and then you go into your control phase where you Leech Fury, and if you need to cut, cut. So if you're on, you know, say the end of your turn, three transfers, and you either miscounted your Fury on a Blightbringer, or you thought something was going to die that didn't, and you kind of wanted to go do a thing, you can still, you know, throw out a Gallows or a Hexblast at the start of your turn, or even just get Carnage out immediately so you don't forget about it, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And then pull all your Fury in and do everything else. So there's a corner case scenario where I don't know if you'd want to do it, but you load up your Blightbringer or your heavies to completely full and then pull something like that and manage to go, hey, I don't frenzy now because I did this thing. The easier, I think, application is to do something like that just to make your order of activation a little easier, or to kind of out of activation, get some weird things going. Like you can Fury Strength, you know, a different Warmonger or Warspear unit that hasn't Vengeanced yet. So now they're coming in at POW 16s on Vengeances instead of 14s.
Yeah.
Which can be the difference between killing a Jack that's already, you know, taken some damage and not doing that. You know, getting Carnage out early just so you don't forget it. Can be getting your turn just Hex Blast off a buff and be like, all right, cool. I don't need to worry about it now. Like, I don't have to worry about, oh, well, she wants to activate first, but also this has to get out of the way, but also A, B, C, whatever. Like, it's just taken care of straight away.
Yeah, getting a free buff at the beginning of your turn with Vengeance attacks is kind of the base level, I think, with Animag. Like, that's something you kind of just want to make use of. But the Hex Blast, where you're actually spending Fury or you actually have to Leech, is, you know, that's pretty next level, and that, I think, is interesting. I wouldn't ever necessarily rely on something like that, but I think it's really cool.
I mean, I don't know if I would either, but like, even if you plan out your turn perfectly and say, okay, I have exactly as much fury as I need.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with going, all right, I do this, and maybe you took a point of point or two of damage, you know, a few turns ago from whatever. Then you have to cut for another point or two to get that fury back, and you're near an objective, or you're near something else, so you just heal back up.
Yeah, like, and even, like, incidental damage on a warlock isn't really that scary unless it's starting to get to the end of the game. At which place, like, you don't have any beasts anyway, right? So it doesn't matter how much fury you have, so.
Turns out, that's an underutilized piece of tech right there. Turns out, if somebody kills all of your beasts, you can camp full every turn and still die.
So moving on from Animag, I know we've probably talked about this one before, but it's using the auto point of damage from the Nis Sorceress to deal with high armor single wound infantry. It's the only caveat is you have to directly hit, and turns out sprays directly hit everything underneath the template.
Fun fact, they absolutely do, and that can get real funny real quick.
Yeah, so if your opponent happens to kind of clump up one of their tough units, you know, if they're one of the shield wall units, for example, that wants to be together, or what's the Legionnaires got? Not Iron Zeal, although that is related.
Yep, they've got Iron Zeal as a mini feat and then defensive line. Is it
defensive?
Yeah. Yes. So if you've got a defensive line, shield wall, anything like that, that just kind of says, all right, I'm going to get a ridiculous arm, or I'm going to get to a point of you don't get to kill everything. You can quite often use the Sorc's bubble and then fire out some Ice Witch sprays or sprays from, say, a throne, or even just your caster if they have one, and casually remove 3, 4, 5 dudes that maybe they didn't think you'd be able to get rid of without a lot more investment.
Yeah, totally. And that's something that will come up probably fairly regularly, but like the Sorceress has a lot of good spells on her, so you really have to, you know, using one does, you know, you give up using another one, but
yeah, it's an opportunity cost. So, you know, maybe if you're playing into Kador with Iron Fang Pikemen, but they've also got a Destroyer or, you know, some range presence. There's the opportunity cost of saying, all right, this unit is definitely in shield wall, and I could maybe kill, if not all of them, then a good portion. But if I do, then this victor or this conquest or whatever they happen to have in sitting in the backfield is now going to be able to shoot next turn. And that seems a lot more damaging than letting these Iron Fangs live. So it's the opportunity cost of what's going to do better in the situation, but it's an important thing to have in your back pocket and not forget about.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a thing that happens a lot in the game, is people will look at it and say, oh, well, this is corner case, I'm never going to use it. This is something that it's only going to come up 1 out of every 100 games, so whatever. And then when that game comes up where it could be useful, you're not in the mindset of looking for the opportunity to use it. So instead you just kind of default to, oh, well, I've always done this, so this is clearly the right thing to do here.
Right, yeah. And I think related to that, we kind of look at Slipstream as a threat extender instead of a defensive ability. So, you know, base level is getting an extra 2-inch out of your charging heavy or whatever, but what you can also do is put your heavy into a forest or a cloud, shoot beyond it, you know, with if you've got, like, let's say an angel that you don't want to commit yet, or another seraph, which I don't know why you'd have 2 seraphs, but whatever. You could put them into a forest and then slipstream them out of the forest so they can't get charged. Like, it's not always going to come up, but like, it's pretty cool when it does, or just like it protects your model instead of completely deleting an enemy model if you can't get there. It's another way to use an ability you have in an effective way.
Yeah, it also works just as well for a caster that has offensive spells. So maybe you're playing Abby 1, Abby 2, Saren, and you had to move up to get whatever spell you're casting off, then realize, oh crap, I'm in threat range of this thing. Well, Seraph slipstreams you back 2 inches. Now you're not in threat range anymore.
Yep.
So it can be a good way to cover yourself, or, you know, if you had to leave a flag or leave a zone to do something, be able to get back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have another one written down here, Ryan, where you're using Fianna. You want to go over that?
Yeah, sure. So having talked to some people today and a couple other days, and especially with the talk of Fianna being able to just casually charge forward, blood boon, then sprint back and be relatively safe, this isn't really, I guess, something people hadn't thought of, but it's one that I haven't personally really considered. Sure. And that's if you're taking Fianna and PT, you've probably got Golab, because dude's a beast there.
Yeah, you have to have Golab. That guy's insane.
Yeah, it turns out once you put Fury on him, he does a fuck ton of work.
Oh yeah, I don't think I've ever had a strength buff on him.
Yeah, POW 17 Weapon Master, real good.
Oh man, that sounds real good.
But there's a lot of times, specifically in that match, you're going to have him and you're going to have Hellmouths. And people will position for Hellmouths to block off the pulls, either by putting something in front or being base to base. And the way the geometry works is you can't pull if that happens.
Right.
But because Fianna has a base, I think, 14-inch threat?
Yeah. That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. She can go forward, you know, hit and kill something with a charging POW 12, trigger sprint at the end of whatever she's doing, but before she moves, throw Gallows out, which can pull that heavy either into Hellmouth range from an angle that somebody wasn't expecting and therefore didn't block. It can, you know, randomly just kill a guy scoring a flag or whatever else. And then you sprint back 7 inches. So, I mean, if you get something in max melee range, which is about all you want to be, you've effectively only moved forward 3 inches from wherever you were, but you managed to dig a lot deeper into the enemy lines than they were probably expecting you to be able to get to. Which, if you can pull Gallows off on a heavy or an important solo or whatever else, you're probably only camping one, but again, with a sprint, you can probably get back through a forest or behind a wall or whatever else and be relatively safe.
Yeah.
In that vein, there was one with Thags 1 that anyone who knows me knows I like going for the janky assassination sometimes. I'm one of those people who has pulled off mutagenesis assassinations more than once. Not because I needed to. I just really wanted to see if I could do it in an event. And right. Did. But, you know, he's got Eruption of Ash on his melee weapons, same as Thags 2.
Yep.
But you can... What's up?
On his one melee weapon, right? Only on his
on the sword.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He can't punch somebody and turn him into a cloud of ash. That doesn't work.
That'd be amazing.
He's got to sword him. But, yeah, it's a different thing to maybe walk forward, mutagenesis even farther forward if you don't have, you know, an angle for a charge, and then sword a couple people down, makes the 3-inch AoEs that are cloud, so if somebody doesn't have Eyeless or True Sight, you're still fairly well protected, and if somebody ends up walking into it, it's a POW 12, so a lot of single wound models don't want to walk in and just take an auto-hitting POW 12 on top of then trying to hit Thags at def 14 arm, effective 18 to 20. It gets a little scary, and it can put him in positions a lot farther up the field than most casters like him can typically be.
Sure.
In addition to, if the angles work out correctly, you can sometimes protect a good part of your army by getting forward, making a couple clouds that just happen to be near some dudes that were next to a forest or next to an like some type of cloud or obstruction that's already there. And then a good part of your army is just kind of like, well, can't get shot anymore. This is cool.
Yeah, obviously solid.
Something like that you want to be a little more careful with, really kind of know your opponent's threat ranges and what can get to where, because you are putting a pretty significant fury investment into doing that, and you're going to be pretty far up the table most of the time. So it's kind of a neat thing, again, to have in your back pocket to kind of know what's going on, but not really ever plan on using until you need to use it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like it.
Our third thing, third and final thing, I think, this week will be you have your next event coming up. Are you planning on participating, or are you just going to be running it and being the bye guy?
We're going to see what happens. Adam Mori is kind of taking charge of it. So if he needs help running it, then I'm going to help run it. If he, you know, needs me to be the bye guy or just kind of hang out and help him because we have a bunch of people, I'm more than content to do that. But if he doesn't, then I'm going to try and get a couple of games in and really unwind and relax from all the hell that's been going on everywhere else. So, yeah.
So speaking then of getting a couple of games in, you sent me a list earlier this week that was Fianna. Did you want to maybe talk about that list?
Sure. Let me pull it up in War Room because I only somewhat remember what the hell it was.
Here, I'll go over it right now while you do that. It's Fianna 2 in Primal Terrors with Amok, Golab, Scythian, Seraph, Naga, Warmonger, Warchief, The Forsaken, two Spell Martyrs, full unit of Chosen of Everblight, a full unit of Warmongers with the Gorag, and a free Hellmouth.
Oh, yeah, that free Hellmouth.
Gotta get the free Hellmouth.
So much better than free Lord of the Feast. It is. No, I don't want to hear it. It is.
All right. I will allow it this time.
Fight me, yo.
I don't like conflict.
That's such a Canadian thing.
All right. So why don't you talk about this list? What were your thoughts and ideas behind it?
Sure. So I was looking for different ways to deal with some things that are prevalent in my meta, not so much the national meta, I guess.
Okay.
So we have a couple people playing Circle, but they're not playing. I think one is playing Iona, one's playing Morvana 1. And then there's a couple things like Banes that are still around here. And what was the other annoying one that somebody just started? Signar's starting to make an appearance again, but it's like Striker 1 Maddox, not the I'm going to shoot you off the table, Signar, as much as the I'm going to try and tank my way through or just punch really hard for some reason.
Okay.
So I was looking at a bunch of them and kind of thinking, okay, well, how do I deal with this? What's a good way? And I used to love Fianna when she came out. I played her for like a year and a half straight because she was Bay.
She's wonderful.
And you know, she's got the armor buff for the Chosen, which is nice. I can swap it over to Warmongers in the late game, assuming they're still there. She's got Fury, which everything in the list really likes. Scythian hitting at pound 19, 20 isn't a joke. The Seraph even getting up to POW 16 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Not to mention Golab getting up to 17... Weapon Master on damaged things. You know, the Chosen with Fury, their mounts hit at POW 17. The actual weapons themselves are 18 on the charge. And then randomly you can just kind of throw it on a Hellmouth, and that Hellmouth becomes POW 13 on the tentacles, 18 on its actual mouth, which does a lot more damage than some people are expecting.
Yeah, that's actually pretty respectable.
Yeah. So on top of hitting hard, everything in the list is basically base def 12, aside from like Golab and the Seraph.
Right.
But you can have that one good turn where not only do you need to be able to hit def 15, you need to be able to crack, you know, arm 19 chosen or POW or arm 20 warmongers. So it can force some hard decisions between having to boost to hit and boost damage, as well as if an army can't necessarily do both. You know, you get Tharn coming in, and sure, maybe without Iona, they're mat 7 with that leader, I think.
Sounds right.
Like, they need 8s to hit a warmonger. Like, that's not great for them.
Yeah, it's not trivial, for sure.
And then if you, you know, can't lap, if you need to, you're relying on mortality, warmongers and chosen are now suddenly def 15 against that. So yeah, sure, you need a boosted 8, but boosted 8s miss. Like, or you're forcing them to actually have to boost a hit instead of just going, eh, I need a 5.
Yeah.
So you can really, you can get some efficiency out of it that way. In addition to, like I said, it hits hard. It's fairly accurate. You've got, you know, Gorag in there for the -2 defense. You've got the War Chief for Vet Leader. And then most of the things, or the beasts, are, you know, the Scythian has Murderous. So against troops, it's going to hit. Golab's mat 7 base with any buff on him, he gets real scary. So that was kind of the thought process. I want to test it a little bit. I don't know if it'll work on the table as well as it does in my head.
Sure. But yeah,
I feel like that's almost always the case. So
yeah, I think you want to get experience with any list that you think is good, just so you can know whether or not you're on the right track and go and make changes from there. But yeah, I like this list. If I was playing tonight, I was actually planning on bringing it out myself and getting a game in with it, because I think it's kind of neat.
Do it. I mean, you stole Abby 1 from me, so.
I did do that. I stole Callus 2 from Donnie. I'm not a creative person, Wolf.
I mean, there's a lot of very easy lowball jokes I could make here, but I respect you too much to make most of them.
I don't believe that for a fucking second.
I wouldn't. It's an absolute lie.
All right. So I actually do have one more thing on this list for today's episode. While I was at the OGC, I had a good talk with someone you know named Colin, and he says, challenge accepted for a longsword fight, so I have something to look forward to at least.
Sure. I don't know if I'll ever actually be able to do it, but sure. I can go in there and embarrass myself. Can't be any worse than trying to play against him when he's drunk and I'm not.
Yeah, so he says that you called him out on the Beer Machine episode.
I totally did.
So he says he's willing to take you on. You just have to, you know, figure out a time and place. And he says he's going to beat your ass. So
I believe it. He's kind of a big. He's kind of a big dude. I would believe that.
So I
guess, fine, I'll just dodge this like I dodged him at OTC. No worries.
There you go. All right, I think that'll do it. As always, a link to the Discord will be in the show notes. I will get the information from Wolf for his event and put it in there as well. So please go to Buffalo, I want to say it was.
Upstate New York Star Wars. We also have a Facebook page.
Okay, cool. Well, then I will link to that as well. I think that's it. I would like to thank you all for listening to the 35th episode of Bladebringers. We'll talk to you again soon.
Or maybe we won't. I don't know.
Yeah, Defensive Wolf is dead or not.
Yeah, really. Seriously, it does. please don't summon me back with a Ouija board. If I die, just fucking let me go.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, everybody.
Bye.